in your face, all over the place.
We're online 24/7. 24/7.
You're listening to the hottest internet station.
Conservative Nation. Conservative Radio. Nation Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
A great Sunday, Patriots. Great Sunday. There are a lot of things that I would like to discuss today, and I don't know if we got a lot of time to do it, but the time is short and we need to get it done. I'd like to thank all of you for being here. We have Mr. Michael B. Smith. We have Barb in the control room also. And we also have just a ton of people in chat right now. I would like to start off this show by just talking about the recent developments in Newtown, Connecticut. And my rant this week is basically the real tragedy in Newtown. The real tragedy in Newtown, Patriots, brothers and sisters, conservative brothers and sisters, I might add, because I can't speak for liberals. I don't pretend to even know them. It's not necessarily the people that lost their lives to this raving lunatic, but their lunacy, the lunacy of the talking heads and politicians that do whatever they can to make a tragic incident and manufacture a crisis from it for their own diabolical means. And don't get me wrong, I mean, I'm not saying that 20 children and a total of 29 dead in Newtown is unfathomable and no rational person can ever come up with a motive for a crazy man to commit such bloodshed, and as such, it should never be swept under the rug or marginalized. But we don't need to change the topic. We don't need to change where the focus is. What I'm talking about is even more sinister than the actual shooting, though. The diabolical plot masterminded by liberal window lickers that love, and I call them window lickers, short bus riders, whatever you want to call them, that love to sensationalize a story about children and adults being murdered by a sick, crazy person sort of flies in the face of the recent murders on four of our own soldiers, hello, in Benghazi. You don't hear nothing about them. You don't hear much at all about the Benghazi murders. They used a gun. They used rockets. They used all sorts of things in that incident. You see, the media will fall over itself to get to this story because it involves their agenda. It involves the idea that they need to pass gun laws in the U.S. so they can further their erosion of the Second Amendment. And if you're not familiar with the Second Amendment, then you need to go just stop listening to this and go somewhere else, because really you are lost already in the cesspool of craziness, okay? The media did not care about Benghazi because, for one, it's so far away, and for second, it involves some soldiers, not children, and couple that with the fact that the White House totally lied about the attack, and the media swept up the breadcrumbs from the floors, another reason that the liars in D.C. and the media will not cover that story. They won't cover it. It's not sensationalized. It doesn't really do anything for them. It doesn't do anything for their agenda. You see, the media has an agenda, and they love a crisis. Like sharks feeding in a frenzy, they swim through the cesspool of journalistic ineptitude with their eyes closed, devouring whatever comes within their sordid sense of smell, whatever that might be. They are the tragedy. They are the problem. They fail to understand that we cannot stop crazy. We cannot stop crazy people. We can't. They could care less about why someone is so evil or so crazy as to even think about committing a heinous crime such as this, what happened in Newtown. They care about banning weapons, though, by God. They will come out. That's the first thing they come out with. They don't come out with and say, you know, let's try to understand maybe why this guy is, why we have so many people killing each other as far as kids go. Do they ever, like, put some kind of study together? They like to spend our money so much. Why don't you put a study together and see how many people actually kill people based off what kind of drugs they're given, based off what kind of diagnosis that they're given, especially our younger kids, teenagers, that kind of thing, impressionable people. See, I think they know how to get at them. And what that crazy window licker in the media and Congress and the rest of the world need to understand is that while they might feel like they need to protect us from ourselves, they best start watching their own hind ends, because the problem they blame on law-abiding, gun-carrying citizens, following the Second Amendment, is the very problem that they have created. They created this problem. They believe that guns are what kills people, and that belief gets people killed, innocent people killed. We have, you know, movie theaters where they have signs up and says, you know, you can't carry a gun in here. But you know what? They do. Look at Colorado. The term assault weapon was a spinoff of the U.S. military definition of assault rifles. The U.S. Department of Defense has long defined assault rifles as fully automatic rifles used for military purposes. That's what basically all conservatives know that. An assault weapon is fully automatic. They have been prohibited in the U.S. since the National Firearms Act of 1934, for God's sakes. Fully automatic firearms can spray fire with a single pull of the trigger, while semi-auto guns shoot one shot with each pull of the trigger. The assault weapon ban of 1994 did nothing to stop the crazy dude. Did nothing to stop crazy, quote unquote. It didn't. You see, they banned the characteristics of a weapon as a feel-good measure. It makes you feel good. It makes your constituency feel good. But if you hold up a pre-ban 1994 weapon over in one hand and a post-ban weapon in the other hand, there's no difference, other than maybe the pre-ban has the a bayonet holder or has a flash suppressor. The post-ban has, you know, no bayonet holder. It doesn't really do anything. It's a feel-good measure for them. It makes them feel good, makes their constituency feel good, so they keep voting for them. And they keep spending money on this. That's where the lunacy is with people such as Bloomberg, okay, who come out and said, with all the carnage from gun violence in our country, it's still almost impossible to believe that a mass shooting in a kindergarten class could happen. It has come to that. What? Okay. Not even kindergartners learning their ABCs are safe. Well, maybe if they were actually in class learning their ABCs, which they aren't. We heard after Columbine that it was too soon to talk about gun laws. We heard it after Virginia Tech, after Tucson and Aurora and Oak Creek, and now we're hearing it again. For every day we wait, 34 more people are murdered with guns. Well, where did you get that stat from? I didn't see that. Today, many of them were five-year-olds. President Obama originally sent his heartfelt condolences to the families in Newtown. I don't mean to joke about this. I'm just having a problem with my computer right now. But the country needs him to send a bill to Congress to fix this problem. Oh, do we? I thought it was fixed. Why don't you give everybody guns? And then we wouldn't have that problem. But anyways, calling for meaningful action is not enough. We need immediate action. We have heard all the rhetoric before. Yes, mostly the spin out of the liberals. Okay. And this is a national tragedy, and it demands a national response. My deepest sympathies are with the families of all those affected, and my determination to stop this madness is stronger than ever. Yeah, why don't you allow people to carry guns in your state, Mayor? Why don't you allow that? Anyways, I mean, after all, guns kill people, right? Right? That's what the liberals try to tell us. If that is the liberal logic proposed here, then cops should not be allowed to carry guns because guns are inherently evil. See, the gun itself is the evil thing. It's not the person, it's the gun itself. And they possess some sort of metaphysical evil control over their owners. If you believe liberal logic, which, you know, we can go there if you want, but almost like some sort of Hollywood movie. That's what it's like in a bad rated B movie. It can't be anything else, right? It's got to be guns. Guns kill people. But I can't guarantee that arming every single teacher in that school would have stopped this from happening or other incidents like this. But I can damn pretty much guarantee it that it would not have been as bad as it was because somebody would have took him out when he was reloading. And that's what happened in two other cases. Put that in your liberal crack pipe and smoke it. Thank you.
Awesome rant, brother. You know, I can't agree with you more, actually. Every time we have an incident like this, this is just fodder for the left to come out and tell us why we should ban guns, why we should give up a little bit of our liberty to secure a little bit of our safety. And I got to tell you, I agree with old Ben. Anybody that would give up a little bit of liberty for a little bit of safety deserves neither liberty or security. You know, the fact of the matter is, in 2010, the last full year, as I said last week, the last full year of the FBI's Uniform Crime Report, the expanded statistics, shows there was only just less than 13,000 murders. Of those, 8,779 were committed with the use of a handgun. Yet, it's 3 to 5 times as many people defend their lives with the use of a handgun.
Yeah, and the thing is that, look, and I firmly state this, and I won't back down from this. If every single teacher, now I know we can't sit there and make every teacher, maybe we can make that a prerequisite, okay? Not if they're in a union, because if you're a union and you need to carry a gun to go to school, then that's going to be an issue there, okay? But there's been people that have been out, been at shootings that have had to run 1,000 yards out to get their gun out of their car to come back to stop shootings. That's happened twice. Now, just think about this logic here for a second, because it really means something to me. If guns are evil and guns kill people, people don't kill people. Guns kill people. And I think there actually is a little bit broader aspect of this. I think that the drugs and the diagnoses that we've been given, that doctors are giving to our young people out there, are actually harming them more than hurting them. They want to blame other things and so on. But I mean, that's a road that I don't mind going down discussing. If drugs and so on, I've got some information about that later. But what they're trying to tell us is that guns are inherently evil, that guns kill people. No, if guns kill people, then you would have all these cops running around like some kind of vampire movie somewhere, just shooting everybody.
Well, here's the other thing.
Because they all carry guns. We'd have all our military run around shooting each other. It's not the gun. And
no.
These people, you can't get over this fact. I tell you what, Michael, you don't know how much I just want to, instead of tapping on the glass on my monitor, I want to jump through there and just strangle some of these people because I guess strangling could be considered a hate crime or something. But, you know, I just can't believe that they're that ignorant, that they're that stupid. A lot of them are pandering, you know.
Well, here's the thing, and we're up against a soft break, but we got enough time to say this. Gun-free zones are a magnet for criminals. Whether the teachers are armed or not, we have to make places that call themselves, you know, movie theaters, schoolhouses. This notion that they have to be gun-free zones has got to go away because criminals have to have that wonder, oh, is there somebody in there that's armed? Because someone who does this kind of stuff they're like wolves or predators. Predators go for the easy prey in the wild kingdom. And they do that because they understand innately that if they get wounded, they're going to die and they're going to be on someone else's menu. So criminals have to have that, always have that in the back of their head. Ooh, there might be someone in there with a gun. But listen, we're coming up on the soft break. The phone number is 718-305-7176. Lines are open. Please give us a call, 718-305-7176. Brother, let's do this quick soft break, and then coming out of that, we'll move forward.
Mark your calendars. Conservative Nation Radio is proud to announce our first annual Christmas Eve special on Monday, December 24th at 7:30 p.m. Central Time. Tune in for 2 full hours of Christmas programming filled with Christmas classics, music, and so much more. Visit conservativenationradio.org, look for the banner that says The Night That Changed Everything, and that will take you directly to the broadcast. We hope you enjoy our Christmas gift to you, our listeners, and make us a part of your Christmas celebration. On behalf of everybody here at Conservative Nation Radio, we'd like to wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas.
Do you have something to say? Then let your voices be heard. And say it on Conservative Nation Radio. Conservative Nation Radio. We do conservatism right.
And now, back to Soldiers of Patriots. Soldiers of Patriots. With your host, Uncle Bing, Michael Bing. And this is Soldiers of Patriotism. I am Michael B., along with my partner, Uncle Bing Fisher.
Uncle Bing.
That's absolutely right. And the time is 3:17 p.m. It is Sunday, December the 16th, and we would like to thank everybody for joining us, as usual. We are very excited about the forward progression of both Soldiers of Patriotism and Conservative Nation Radio, along with our partners at Traditional American Movement. You can find Conservative Nation Radio at conservativenationradio.org. That is conservativenationradio.org, as well as our partners, TRADAM, at traditionalamericanmovement.com. That's traditionalamericanmovement.com. You can follow CNR on Facebook at Conservative Nation Radio, as well as on Twitter at CNR Show. And again, our phone number is 718-305-7176. So anyway, go ahead, Uncle Bing. Take it over, buddy.
I'm sitting there, you know, thinking, I think this year, Michael, and I think after we talked to Wild Bill, and he came through with something that Wild Bill for America that I thought long and hard on, and then I started listening to another talk show host that will remain undisclosed for now, but I'm tired. I'm tired of these people. I'm tired of laying down, and I'm going to sit there, and I'm going to let them burn. Let them burn, just like the Christmas carol, but instead of let it snow, let it snow, let it snow, it's let it burn. Let them burn, let them burn. Because they voted for this. They want this. So I'm going to hunker down, and I'm going to let them burn. But I'm also going to sit there and be actively involved in trying to defeat them in 2016.
Well, and we do have a really good start of doing that here on conservativenationradio.org as well as traditionalmovement.com. That's what we're doing. That's what we're endeavoring to do, and this is how we're taking it to them, along with other endeavors that we're all doing individually, don't you think, Bing?
Oh, yeah, man. We got there's some great plans we got lined up for everybody. I mean, I wish we could just sit there and just, you know, force feed it all to everybody at the same time, but it's just we can't do that. You know, it's letting the cat out of the bag, and it's no fun. You know, I mean, come on, everybody wants to have like a little bit of fun. You know,
well, yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
You know, Christmas Day, you don't want to sit there and wake up and all your presents are already opened. You know,
our friends that listen to us, you know, like Kurt and Boyd and Barbara and Melissa and Fred and, you know, everybody, They don't need the pablum. I mean, they're not Pavlov's dog. It's the liberals. It's the liberals that we need. It's the liberals who are Pavlov's dog, and they're the ones that need our pablum. Let's bring in Brother Kurt. See what he's got to say about your rant or anything else. What do you think, brother?
Good job, Bing.
Hey, Kurt.
Good job there, Bing.
Thank you, sir.
Man, there is so many things to be said about this situation. And actually, most of them have already been said at one time or another. The problem here that we're facing is we are thinking logically, and we're speaking in logical terms to people out there, and I'm talking about the window lickers, banks. They don't understand. Logic is not in their thinking process. These people have lost all touch with logic decades ago. A good example of that was one night last week, I forgot what night it was, when they had Billy Carter's show on, and I logged in and got the chat room that time, which I haven't gotten it today for some reason. I don't know. This is another ball game for me. The rampant, words fail me to be able to sit here and describe in a good fashion what was going on. The people, the liberal trolls that had logged into that chat room on that show, and first of all, they were asking some of the most asinine questions I've ever heard in my life. Not only that, though, but they were typing in vulgar language. They were throwing F-bombs, making other types of comments, which I'm not even going to repeat here. But, I mean, you know how these people operate. You know what they say and what they do. It was absolutely disgusting. This was people. They're uncivilized people. You can't call them civilized because civilized people do not behave that way. This is
no, they don't.
We have created.
Well, I don't think we've created it. I think other people created it. But, Michael, if I can speak for you, I mean, we're going to put an end to this.
Brother, you and I are always on the same page as far as I can tell.
We allowed it to happen, which is what I should have said. I mean, we sat back and allowed it to happen. And it all happened in the name of political correctness. And
we are too worried about other people's feelings to hurt them. But I don't really want to focus the show today, and I understand that, Kurt, what you're saying, and it is noted, and we are addressing that, Michael.
Well, actually, I want to jump in on that, because
if you want to comment, go ahead.
I want to jump in on that because I know right where Kurt's at. I mean, I know how frustrating, infuriating it is, and we do need to address it to some degree. And I will assure you, Brother Kurt, that we're in the process, and we're going to get into this after the bottom of the hour. We've got several topics lined up. And again, that phone number, 718-305-7176. I encourage everybody to drop in. We've got a good show lined up today, and Kurt and Boyd and Rick and everybody that's on hold right now, I want them to be a part of the conversation because we are reformatting. We're looking at a grand relaunch of January 6th. We're going to go into this in more detail, and I want to get y'all's input. You know, we're going to address this troll thing. We don't want to spend a whole lot of time acknowledging them. We understand they're there. We've got some exciting stuff that we want our friends, our brothers and sisters of Conservative Nation Radio and Traditional American Movement, we want their input, and both on air and offline as well. I mean, most everybody, if they don't, should have my cell phone number, and if you don't, I'll certainly give it out on the Tradam chat board because my phone's always – I mean, Kurt called me right before show we chatted. So, you know, we make ourselves – I know that I'll speak for Bing and I – make ourselves available to our friends, and we always have and we always will.
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. I mean, I'm there. Anybody wants my phone number? I don't even care if you're a liberal. You have my phone number because I'll sit there and just nail you. But anyways, yeah, just, you know, give me a call or give me a shout on email and I'll give you my phone number.
Well, when we get into this.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff going on, man. We got stuff going on with Tridam. We got stuff going on with CNR. We got stuff going on with Facebook, with the website, with all sorts of other different sites that we're involved in, our sister sites and so on that we're proud to promote. WritingOurConsent.com, our newsletter, Big Dog Music Mafia, another great site that we love. We love the people over there. This year is going to be the year of, I don't know what we might want to call it, Michael, but it's going to be called, it's going to have a funky name. And we got the Christmas show coming up. I mean, God, I'm digging it. I'm loving it.
Well, absolutely. And then, of course, again, you know, I want to keep everybody in. I want to get the input from all of our closest friends. In fact, let's, again, that number is 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. You are listening to Soldiers of Patriotism on the Conservative Nation Radio Network, along with our partners and sponsors, Traditional American Movement, that you can find at traditionalamericanmovement.com. Let's bring our brother, Kurt, you're still alive, so hang with us. Let's bring our brother Boyd in from Alaska and get his input as well.
Hi, Boyd.
Hi, Kurt. Hey, Michael, Dane, Rick, everybody in the chat room. You know, I want to touch on what Kurt was saying about what happened over at an Abomination real quick. It was kind of funny because they were in there and they were raising hell and everything in the chat room. But, you know, it was funny after I was able to get on the air and thank all of them for being there, for raising the ratings for the show. You know, it was kind of funny. They kind of quieted down and started to bait.
It's amazing how liberals don't understand how that works, do they?
I caught that, Bob Boyd. I caught that, too, by the way, because I was listening.
Yeah. And anyway, yeah, I want to see all these new things that you guys got up your sleeve that you've been keeping rather hush-hush. My buddy Barbara, our den mother, you know, has been keeping it hushed. I can't get no information. I'm anxious.
Well, you know, we've been
all things in time, you know, young
Jim. Yeah. Let us get it launched.
There's a movement in the force.
You know, we just may need to have a private show one night before we get those other two nights booked and invite our closest friends like Kurt and Boyd and Chuck and Ron and Fred and everybody, and you know, let our closest friends have access to the host privately and get their input. That might be something we need to do one Monday or Wednesday night, Brother Bing.
Yeah, sounds good to me, man. Any time you want to schedule that, we'll go ahead and do that. Well, right now we're coming up on 328, and the number is 718-305-7176. Please call in.
Absolutely. Well, what, you know, look, let's just go ahead and get this troll thing off of our chest, Kurt and Boyd. And, I mean, what, you know, because we've got a few minutes before the hard break. In a minute or less each, what might you suggest we do? Going with Kurt first.
Go ahead, Kurt.
Well, I've been chewing on that a little bit, and I don't know. This is something that's been done before, but I'm thinking about trying to make a new approach to our congressmen and our senators. Well, in my case, the senators are a wasted effort. We're talking about Alexander and Corker here. But our congressmen might. They're a little closer to our level than the senators are. And maybe there's something salvageable in some of it, because I want to try one more time going to the politicians. I want to sit across the table from my congressman one more time and have him tell me why he can't do anything about this. Just see what his answer is, and I'm going to tell him what I expect him to do, and then we'll let the chips fall where they will from there.
Absolutely. Boyd?
Yeah, I you know, I don't know. I'm kind of one of those troll bashers, and I kind of want to see an invite go out to all the trolls, because, you know, like I said, all that does is help our ratings on Blog Talk, and it brings the program up, and, you know, we can be tolerant, shall we say, of those folks. You know, there's things we can do to handle them. You know, the producers can go in there and block them as they come up. Not get rid of them, not throw them off. Just block them from chat. Let them hang out and do their thing, which they think is disrupting us. But, you know, it brings our numbers up. And
well, Michael, let's talk about this.
That's what
we got a hard break coming up, Boyd. 718-305-7176. Please call in. We'll get back to this right after this.
Yep. Thanks a lot.
Together, you and I shocked the world. Not only did we win Iowa and 10 other states, we framed the Republican message, and we showed that conservative values are alive and well all across America. And what do I call winning 11 states? Well, just the beginning. Because by staying together, you and I can amplify our voices and change America. And the top of that list, of course, is defeating Barack Obama. To accomplish all this, I'm starting a brand new organization, Patriot Voices. And once again, I'm calling on you and 1 million other patriots to join me and guarantee that our voices be heard. Our mission is clear. Fight to protect faith, family, freedom, and opportunity in America. To accomplish this, we'll mobilize our grassroots troops to help elect candidates that share our values and hold elected officials accountable for their actions all across this country. And like the founding fathers of our country, we're ready to take on the establishment or anyone else who opposes those bedrock American principles. Are you ready to join the fight to protect the sanctity of life? Protect traditional marriage. Return to the principles of our Constitution. Restore fiscal sanity in Washington and across this country, and make America an economic and manufacturing superpower again. Then it's time you become a member of Patriot Voices. And joining couldn't be simpler. Just go to patriotvoices.com and you can instantly become a founding member of our organization. You and I weren't there for the American Revolution. Didn't write the Constitution or sign the Declaration of Independence. But let's make no mistake about it. The fight to protect faith, family, freedom, and ensure opportunity for all in America is just as critical today as it was back then. Our time in history is right now. And I hope that you'll choose to join me in this critical fight by joining Patriot Voices today. Patriot Voices, your voice. Multiplied by a million.
In your face, all over the place.
We're online 24/7. 24/7.
You're listening to the hottest internet station.
Conservative Nation. Conservative Nation Radio.
5-5-4-4-3-3-2-1-1.
And welcome back to Conservative Nation Radio.
And now, back to Soldiers of Patriots. Soldiers of Patriots. With your host, Uncle Bing, Michael Bing. Sorry about that, Uncle Bing. Actually, we need to do that. I got to tell you, man, that CNR drop. I put that in our file. I have to load that in our files. I hope all of the hosts see it. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. That is a mandatory top of the hour and bottom of the hour drop after we come in out of whatever commercial we're coming in out of. Dude, awesome.
You probably lost about half our listeners. No, I'm grateful, man. I mean, I just like to do what I can, you know, and if there's certain things that I can do to help out – or further up the cause, and I'm all for it, you know. So
well, and we're going to go over that with our listeners today, and we're gonna break a little bit of news, but real quick, that phone number, Brother Bing. By the way, the time is 3:25. It is December the 16th, and you are listening to Soldiers of Patriotism on the Conservative Nation Radio Network, who is partnered with our sponsors at Traditional American Movement. You can find both of us at conservativenationradio.org. That is conservativenationradio.org and traditionalamericanmovement.com. I cannot strongly suggest any harder that you join traditionalamericanmovement.com. And, of course, you can follow CNR on Facebook at Conservative Nation Radio and on Twitter at CNR Show. And our phone number is 718-305-7176. Brother Bing, we've got another one of our old friends on. We've still got Kurt and Boyd there. They're in a holding pattern right for the moment. But let's pull Danny in, and then we'll get in.
Oh, Danny.
Yeah, then we'll get into we're going to add stuff topically. So you can go back and talk about anything from the last segment, but with each segment, we're going to add stuff topically. So let's go ahead and start talking about this Christmas Eve special. But brother, for right now, Brother Shouse, my brother, this man welcomed me into the Kane train two summers ago. I love this man. He's my brother. Danny, how are you doing, my man?
Oh, great, Michael. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm
doing
good.
How you doing, Danny? Love you too, man.
I had to take a break for a while. Hunting season kicked in.
And, yeah, I know about that, but I ain't even seeing nothing out here, Danny.
Well, you should have came up here. Donated a few to Hunters for the Hungry and stuff like that.
Well, if you can't
if
you can't drop anything in the field in the way of a deer, you could certainly drop a few libs.
Yeah.
I should be careful. Oh. Shame on me.
Wait a minute. I've seen a cat out there. I had that in my bead.
We're cleaning up CNR. Hey, Danny, what did you think about Brother Bing's rant? You got anything to say about anything we talked about so far?
Well, one thing about the trolls is sometimes it's amusing to look at their train of or lack of thought. I was going to say train of thought, but lack of thought would be a better phrase. I mean, liberal policies have never succeeded anywhere, but yet they want to keep on trying them.
I wonder what Foster Brooks would say about the trolls.
Michael. Something along that line. It's been too long since I've done Foster Brooks.
I was just talking about you this morning, as a matter of fact, on a conference call with Teresa and Bing, and I said, man, Danny does a really good Foster Brooks. You guys got to hear him.
And, of course, the church lady would say, wow, isn't that special?
Well, Danny, let's let Bing and I get this next thing. Hang tight, brother.
Okay.
Let's introduce into this conversation. We got about 13 minutes till we come up on that soft break, brother. Let's let the cat out of the bag. I got to tell you, Bing, I have had in the last couple of days no less than Dean Martin, Bing Crosby, Frank Sinatra have dropped in and laid down some tracks. Yesterday morning, Elvis Presley gave me a call. He laid down a track. I've had Burl Ives reprising his role as Sam the Snowman from the 1964 classic Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I mean, this first annual Christmas Eve Conservative Nation Radio special is just going to be phenomenal. It's the kind of
Good Lord, Michael, I hope you got some Lysol over there, because all the people are dead now, but... Yeah, we'll deal with that. But, yeah, if they're dropping in over at your place, man, that's cool. Get some pictures.
Hey, there's nothing like having a toddy with Dina.
Yeah, I'd love to. It's great, man. I can't really say anything about it because you know, I know about it. I've got the recording and some of the recording that we've got together so far. But I think you guys are going to love this. I mean, it's just everybody out there. It's a show for the family. Everybody can listen to it. It's not going to have no cuss. There won't be no liberal trolls on here, okay? So we ain't got to worry about that.
Well, let's go ahead and bring in a few of our – let's bring Danny and Kurt and Boyd back in here. They might got some questions. I mean, who gets to have Elvis Presley, Frank Sinatra, Bing Crosby, Dean Martin, Burl Ives, Jose Ferrara reprising his role in the 1968 award-winning classic The Little Drummer Boy? I've had Johnny Mercer, Margaret Whiting. Look, I've been having toddies with these guys. We've been enjoying some really good scotch the past couple of days. Brother Kurt, what do you got to say about that?
Oh, that sounds like it's going to be a real winner there, Michael. I'm looking forward to this. But when is the is this going to be aired on Christmas Eve?
Christmas Eve, Brother Kurt. It's going to be a two-year thing. You know how you kind of, when you're with the family, you turn on Christmas music and then you visit with the family? Well, that's what this is going to be. It's not going to be something you got to sit around and pay attention to. It's the kind of event that you just turn on and you enjoy your family. You enjoy traditional American Christmas Americana.
Yeah, and the music quality is very, very good, man. I've listened to some of these clips already and how Michael and everybody else is putting them together. And it's just a team effort, and it's coming off great, man. It's sounding real good.
I assume it will be permissible to say Merry Christmas and not Happy Holidays, right?
We are the last station in the world where we say Merry Christmas.
As a matter of fact, I think if you say Happy Holidays, you might get your butt banned from over here.
We still say Merry Christmas and God bless you on Conservative Nation Radio and Traditional American Movement.
There you go.
And again, that number 718-305-7176. You are listening to Soldiers of Patriotism. We have our brothers on, Danny Schaus from Kentucky, Kurt Blackwood from Tennessee, and our brother Boyd McPhail from Alaska. Boyd, you got any input on this? How do you think, can you imagine getting a call from Dean saying, "Hey, Michael, I'm coming over to lay down a track for that first annual Conservative Nation Radio Christmas Eve special"?
Well,
what do? You have a drink with him.
It sounds like you are getting visited by many ghosts of Christmas pasts.
Does that kind of sound reminiscent of the Christmas Carol, maybe?
Yeah.
Could that be a hint?
It sounds like it's going to be a great traditional show.
Well, here's the beauty about it, Kurt and Boyd and Uncle Bing and Brother Schaus. As conservatives, we know the reason for the season. We understand traditional American values, and we celebrate them. We celebrate God in our lives and in our families. And that's what we want to project, both Traditional American Movement and Conservative Nation Radio, on this Christmas Eve special, because it is sponsored as well by Traditional American Movement. And that's what we want to project is traditional values, and the feedback I'm getting is phenomenal. When I first put the idea out there, it was like, how would you like to enjoy your family? And here in Texas, we have tamales on Christmas Eve. Tune in and have this playing in the background. It's going to be kid-friendly. They're going to get to listen to Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, The Drummer Boy, maybe The Christmas Carol, maybe The Gift of the Magi from an old Mercury Theater 1930s radio program. I don't know yet. It's still being developed. But it's the kind of thing that you tune into, and you don't sit around and just listen to it, but you have it playing, and you celebrate the joy of life, the reason that we celebrate Christmas. That's what you celebrate.
Yeah, and we're not afraid to say that. We're not afraid to go out there and promote that. It's a PC-free zone here, man. I mean, we do say y'all. We do say Christmas. We do say we love you. We do say, all the rest of it. I mean, it's just We do say Jesus. We do believe in the Bible. We believe in gods and guns, you know, and that's the way it is.
Well, I don't know.
That's the way it should be.
I'm pretty sure I know about the rest of you guys, but listen, I love my Lord, and I love my Savior, Jesus Christ, and I thank Him every day for the friends that He's brought into my life over the last 2 years. Teresa Brusky, our new general manager here on Conservative Nation Radio. I mean, my friends Danny, Kurt, Billy, Boyd, Barb, you know, all of these wonderful people that are helping. That either have a position within CNR or TRADAM, or that are our friends that are. I really think, guys, maybe do you ever wake up in the morning and you've been dreaming and you're like, okay, am I really waking up from the dream, or am I waking up from the dream in the dream? It's like, pinch me. I just, does that make sense, Boyd?
Groundhog Day.
Pinch you? I think I'll leave that up to Teresa or Barb. Well, actually, Barb, I think I consider Barb like our sergeant at arms. She's our
tell me.
Yeah.
You gotta love her.
Oh yeah.
But you know, I'm real excited about this show, as y'all can probably tell. Let's bring in a few other people here to talk about it. In fact, speaking of Barb, let's go ahead and bring in our promotions manager, Barbara Mulligan-Buffing. Barbara, what do you have to say? Oh, by the way, real quickly, it is 618-305-7176. Please give us a call. We want to hear from you. We really do. And if we're not talking about something you want to talk about, go ahead. We'll entertain your thought. Barb, what do you have to say?
Wow, great rant. Loved it,
Uncle
Bing. And I totally agree with you on that. I'm really excited about the Christmas Eve special. I did post the link in the blog, in the chat room. So it's in the event, so if somebody is listening and you haven't been technically invited, you are very welcome to be listening. All you have to do is get a hold of that link or get up with us at either on Facebook. We have the website going on, conservativenationradio.org. Transamerican, a traditional American,
tradam.org. Yeah. How many people do we got over there? I think, 58, something like that. I said 54.
That's coming to the show?
Yeah.
That
RSVP'd anyways. I think it's over 50. I know 54. It's 54.
54, yeah.
Cool. That's 54 people, and if those 54 people send out invitations to maybe 5 or 6 of their friends each, then that will make... I don't know, maybe we won't have a show because our servers will be downloaded or overloaded, but we'll say that. Yeah, I ain't going to say that. I don't want to jinx it, but, you know, it'd be great if we could get everybody involved to listen, because I listen to it, and it's going to be a great show, Barbara.
Yeah, oh, I know. I'm so excited. I've been working hard on this, so I'm real excited about it. And I know the others that are involved in it are just as excited as we are. So I'll drop some links in the chat room, and I'm real excited to be a part of. I love all you guys. This is great. Anyway, that's about all I got for the moment.
Well, hang tight, babe, or sister. And we'll pull you back in here in a little while when we start getting into our roundtable. But we are coming up on a soft break. And I do want to get back more onto this Connecticut thing. But I just thought it would be fun to drop in there something a little pleasant in between talking about the horrible tragedy that occurred in Connecticut. And, you know, I woke up this morning and I rolled over and I kissed my wife and I said, did you hear about the first grade teacher, Elizabeth Soto, who put her kids in the closets in her in her classroom when that monster came in there, and she took one for a classroom of first graders. My wife teaches second grade, and she teaches it on the south side of Fort Worth. For those of you that don't live in Fort Worth, it's a rough side of town, and she does it because she loves working with those children. But so you know, I've got some strong feelings about whether or not a teacher should have a handgun on her. But brother, we are coming up on a soft break, so if you guys will just stand by real quick, let us do this soft break, come out of it, and then we'll pull Danny and Kurt and Boyd back in and let's talk a little bit more about what we need to do. You know, some serious business. This was a fun segment, but we need to talk some serious business.
Yep, 718-305-7176. Call in. We'd love to hear from you.
Mark your calendars. Conservative Nation Radio is proud to announce our first annual Christmas Eve special on Monday, December 24th at 7:30 p.m. Central Time. Tune in for 2 full hours of Christmas programming filled with Christmas classics, music, and so much more. Visit conservativenationradio.org, look for the banner that says The Night That Changed Everything, and that will take you directly to the broadcast. We hope you enjoy our Christmas gift to you, our listeners, and make us a part of your Christmas celebration. On behalf of everybody here at Conservative Nation Radio, we'd like to wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas.
Do you have something to say? Then let your voices be heard. And say it on Conservative Nation Radio. Conservative Nation Radio. We do conservatism right. And now, back to Soldiers of Patriotism. Soldiers of Patriotism. With your host, Uncle Bing, Michael Bing.
Well, anyway, this is Soldiers of Patriotism with your host, Uncle Bing and Michael B. The phone number to call in, and we do really let your voice be heard. Look, this is y'all's show. We're reformatting. We're cleaning our acts up. We're moving forward. But the basis of what we've always done is going to stay in place. Phone number 718-305-7176. Again, that number is 718-305-7176. Remember that you can Skype in as well. And you can find us at conservativenationradio.org, along with our partners and our sponsor, traditionalamericanmovement.com. Again, that's traditionalamericanmovement.com. And you can follow us on Facebook.
Yeah, hi, Michael. If you're there, I don't know if you're still there, but it looks like we might have lost Michael for a second. Didn't even pick that up. But anyways, we got Danny, Kurt, and Boyd online. I'd like to bring in Billy Cotter, who she hosts Nobomination. Billy. Hello, ma'am. How you doing?
Hey, finally. What the heck?
Hey, what the heck?
Seriously,
I love that.
I mean, I've been one of the first callers. But I was going to address several different things, especially I liked your rant. It was good. But I mean, right now, what are we segueing into? Because there's a lot of different topics there that we've already discussed that I could have jumped in at any time and talked about. One of them being Connecticut. Now, one of the things I wanted to bring up was the fact that there is you know, this big thing about taking God out of schools, taking the public school system to a level of there is no higher power than government. And that's what I think one of our big things as conservatives is on the agenda to change is there has to be, I've seen a lot of different shows today talking about how they're having vigils, they're having different, what do you call it, memorial services. They even brought up, you know, the Catholic Church that six of the children belong to. But they're not talking about, you know, the students and their belief. I mean, even this kid, we don't know if he had any religion at all, the one who did all the shooting. And that would be interesting for me to know. When it comes down to a lot of the things that happened on my show Thursday, I have to admit, there were a lot of people, a lot, who actually came in to troll and decided not to troll because they were interested. So it was not, our numbers went up huge because of the trolling, but a lot of people stuck around not to troll. When you've got two or three bad apples, it makes it look bad. And we had probably, I'd say, out of the hundreds, we had maybe four or five. And it did make the chat room look pretty bad. And we got rid of them. And then it turned into a decent show again. But anyway, I am looking forward to the Christmas Eve special. I haven't gotten an answer from anybody whether they got my clips that I sent in.
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. I said I did on Facebook. But, yeah, I still got to deal with that. I'm having some computer issues, but I'll deal with that tonight.
Okay, cool. I asked a couple times. I guess maybe I'm in the wrong one because there's like five or six different message boards that are from, you know, Michael and four others, you know. So maybe I looked at the wrong one to see if you ever got it. I'm pretty psyched about what's going on with CNR, conservativenationradio.org. And I think the thing is that we are doing conservatism right. We are doing it the correct way. We are trying to find a solution to the problem. We're not just going out there with points that, you know, mean nothing to the liberals. We need to figure out the solution to the problem and then fix it to what's going on.
Well, most definitely. I mean, you've heard, you know, some of the Christmas show, right? I mean, what do you think about it? I think it's going to be gangbuster. I just think it's going to be just a great thing.
Definitely agree with what you said.
I can't wait for it, man. So I'm going to curl up, get me some popcorn, and I'm going to hang out.
Yeah. Well, I don't have Daniel here this year, so I'll probably have it playing while I'm cooking and doing the Christmas stuff. But, yeah, I'm going to have it playing for sure. But anyway, in the chat room right now. I'm sorry. I really wish I could. But Daniel should be in there talking for me. I keep talking to him on Skype going, what the heck is going on? But anyway, yeah, thanks, guys. You guys have a good show going.
Oh, thank you, Billy. Yeah, I wanted to bring it. Michael, are you there? Let's see if I can get my brother up here again.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I just lost him for a second. When I lose my brother, I try to look for him. It's like, where'd he go? But, no, you wanted to get back. We've got a break coming up here in a couple minutes, Michael. But you wanted to talk about more about this tragedy, I guess. And I'd like to talk about it, too. I'd like to talk about some of the ramifications of what the liberals are trying to do to us. On the other side of this, I think it's needed. I think we have to discuss this.
You mean with the gun control issues?
Well, not just gun control. It's the mentality. Okay, it's the mentality is that
okay, this is not our problem. This is some other problem. This is whatever, you know. And my mentality is that I can't stop crazy. I can't stop stupid people. I can't stop insane people. Okay, but we can maybe come to a consensus. And I don't know. Do you think it's worth? Do you think it's worth pursuing us checking psychiatric records from doctors?
Well,
if a doctor, if but we'll talk about that on the backside of the break here. But just gnaw on that a little bit.
I just want to bring up one thing though. I saw on one of the Sunday shows today was one of the mayors in Connecticut talking about how they had a gun buyback a few weeks ago, and they were basically, he said, you know, they were actually buying back a gun a minute back then. And to me, that just in and of itself just seems really wrong that they would have a gun buyback, you know, that they're encouraging people to give up the gun that they have at home to protect themselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You might as well just walk into the police station and say, hey, hello there. This is what I own, and this, you know, you might as well just do that because you're a criminal at that point.
It's like putting yourself as a sitting duck out there, you know.
Yep. All right, Michael. I don't know if Mike's with me here.
Bring it. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. You're muted for some reason.
Well, I had to screen a call, but let's go ahead. We've got lines open with Danny, Kurt, Boyd, and but before we bring them in, let's bring in our brother Ron, who just called in, and get his input on anything we've talked about. And then let's talk about, because I've definitely got some thoughts on this Connecticut thing. You know, that lady Elizabeth Soto, I mean, she's just a hero. It's sad. It's a shame that, she died. But she's a hero. I mean, she protected a whole class. Ron, what do you think about this whole tragedy?
Well, I tell you, I posted a pretty good long post underneath Bing's rant over at Trade M. Y'all read it if you want to. But, you know, I think we need to stand up. You know, we outnumber these fools that are trying to do this gun law stuff. As long as we act like we're little babies and are scared to even say what we mean and what we intend to say, we're never gonna achieve anything. The only thing that's gonna make these idiots pay attention to us is us being in the street screaming and saying no, we're not gonna do this anymore. Our country wasn't formed for us to be babies and to be ruled over by some left wing idiots. Our country was made so we would be able to self rule. We don't have to listen to what is being dictated to us from the government. We are the ones that should be dictating to them what we're going to do.
Well, that's totally correct. I mean, we ought to, as you said, we need to be in the streets, but we also need to be backfiring the media every time they come up with some kind of lame excuse or some kind of stupid thing that they come up with, like every day. That's an everyday occurrence. We need to get back in their face. We need to sit there and say, look, this is the way it is. If every teacher, and I'm telling you, I guarantee it, if every teacher in that school had a gun, this guy would not have killed as many people as he did. He might have killed some people. I'm not saying that he wouldn't. But he would
not
have gotten
away with what he did. Our liberal education system, you'd probably have to put a gun on these teachers to get them to carry a gun. They're all products of this same
education. Well, I tell you what, that's fine with me, too. I ain't got no problem with that. I think that should be actually mandatory. I think that should be mandatory. If you're going to school as a teacher, you should go to a gun class. Because, look, even if you don't carry one, you should be able to know how to stop somebody. Or you should be able to know how to get away from that. Or to how to subdue somebody with a gun. There are ways to do that. There's real, basic, simple ways.
Well, you all
know.
Some of
this involves karate and so on, but there's simple ways to get to stop this. And they don't want nothing to do with it because they don't want to acknowledge the fact that there are sick people. They want to acknowledge the fact that they want to get rid of our guns, our Second Amendment right.
Well, you all know that I'm a Freemason, and my lodge every year in March does concealed handgun here in Texas. And I love concealed hand. We're fixing to go open carry, but which I love. In fact, I may walk downtown just with a sidearm strapped to my hip just to see how it feels. But I actually prefer the concealed carry. And the reason I and this goes kind of to what you were saying, Uncle Bing, the reason I prefer concealed carry is because predators don't know whether you're armed or not. If they're going to bust into Luby's like they did in Waco 10 years ago and you're open carry, they're going to focus in on those folks first. And that doesn't mean that I don't want open carry. I want it. But concealed carry, and it's kind of the same thing with doing away with this gun-free zone. I hate this concept of gun-free zones. And I want to get Danny's and Kurtz and Boyd's opinion on this. But I hate it because, to me, a gun-free zone, again, I can't say it enough. It is a sign. Rather than say gun-free zone, what you should have is a sign that says, crazy people, lunatics, and folks that want to come in and kill unarmed people, here's the place to come and do it. And with concealed carry, the predators don't know whether you're armed or not. And I know this March, my wife will be going through concealed carry class, and I got to tell you, we don't have metal detectors here in the elementary schools in Texas. She may be carrying a little Lady Beretta in her purse to class with her, unbeknownst to the rest of the school, because I don't care what the laws are. My wife is my first priority in my life, and I want her to be able to protect herself. And if in the classroom those innocent second grade children that depend on her, Danny, what are your thoughts on that? Kurt, you're on deck.
Well, Michael, them gun-free zones work because only the law-abiding people didn't have one.
Right.
But the idiot with a gun, I have one. I mean, why not make murder illegal? Oh, wait.
It is.
You might as well just put it, like, you might as well put a sign up and say, well, they do, you know, we're a gun-free zone. They just might as well put a sign up and say, look, anybody that has a gun, come on in here, because you know that anybody in this establishment does not carry a gun.
Hey, guys,
only
I'm
not screaming for that. So.
We're up against a hard break here. I'm sorry, I lost track of the time for just a moment. Let's get this break in, and then we'll come back to this, okay? Kurt and Danny and Boyd, you guys hang tight.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration. And that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811. PCSforAutomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
In your face, all over the place.
We're online, 24/7.
You're listening to the hottest internet station.
Conservative Nation Radio. Nation Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And now, back to Soldiers of Patriots. Soldiers of Patriots. With your host, Uncle Bing and Michael Bing. All right, this is Soldiers of Patriotism Radio with your host, Uncle Bing and Michael B. The phone number to call into is 718-305-7176. Again, that is 718-305-7176. This is Soldiers of Patriotism on the Conservative Nation Radio Network. You can catch us online at conservativenationradio.org. Again, that's conservativenationradio.org, O-R-G. And our partners and our sponsors, Traditional American Movement. And we have several of our brothers from Traditional American Movement on the show today. And you can find them at traditionalamericanmovement.com. Again, that's traditionalamericanmovement.com. I do strongly urge that everybody that's listening to this, sign up for this website. It's a great website. You're going to get great insight from folks like Brad McPhail of Alaska and Kurt Blackwood of Tennessee and Ron and everybody. I mean, and Uncle Bing. It's a great website. There's a private chat there for like-minded individuals. I can't rave enough about traditionalamericanmovement.com. And also, you can follow us here at Conservative Nation Radio on Facebook at Conservative Nation Radio, as well as on Twitter at CNR Show. That's Twitter at CNR Show. Uncle Bing, let's get back to this conversation we've been having. And Kurt was up next. I don't know if Danny had a little bit more to say. We'll start with him after you, brother. But Kurt was on deck, and then we'll get Boyd, and we'll get Ron in here on this conversation.
Well, I got my paper, and actually, if you take this paper and you kind of grab it like this,
it
sounds like fire.
Is that the original laptop?
Yeah, that's the original laptop. But anyways, no, Melissa Bohannon sent me a link, and it's from a PBS thing, and they're talking about, you know, we were talking earlier about, okay, what is the cause and effect here? Because obviously something's going on, okay? We didn't have this. Michael, I remember back when I was growing up as a kid, we were talking about this the other day, me and some guys at work, about making cinnamon. You remember those cinnamon matchsticks that you would put in your mouth? You know, not the matchsticks, toothpicks, yeah. And we would walk around with them. You can't carry them into school almost anymore, as far as I know, because, they might be laden with drugs or whatever. You know, we used to walk around with them all the time, man. It was cool, you know. But, you know, Melissa sent me a link, and it's pbs.org, and I'll drop that in the chat over here, or Melissa can if she can find it. But, you know, there is 4,000% increase in the diagnosis in children of bipolar mental illnesses. And, you know, I'm sitting there going, okay, you know, me and my wife are talking about this, and we're like, you know, what is going on? You know, because obviously something is going on, and we can talk about that. We don't have to talk about guns being bad, because that's not the problem, okay? We have to treat the cause of the problem, not the symptom. We keep treating the symptoms, and we keep trying to go after the symptom. The symptom is not all these people that are dead. The symptom is not guns. The symptom, the cause is we got crazy people in this world, and it seems like they keep multiplying faster and faster and faster. Now, whether we have a breakdown in society, is it the family thing? Is it that we're prescribing medications to these kids that really don't need it? Could that be a problem?
Well, let me just, and I'm going to say this, and then let's bring in Danny and Kurt and Ron and Boyd. And you know what? I've never really voiced this on air or on Facebook or anywhere. I would be the last person to muzzle anybody's First Amendment, including Tarantino, Quentin Tarantino. I wouldn't want to muzzle his First Amendment rights to make the movies he wants to make. But let's think about this for a minute. Did we have these problems back in the 50s? Maybe we did, but they weren't to the degree there are. Now, we've got a Hollywood that makes the kind of movies that Quentin Tarantino makes that glorifies death, desensitizes our youth from what death is really about. We have a society that has preached that guns are no good, and we have parents that aren't raising their children in homes with firearms the way I was raised, teaching their children that firearms are serious business. You know, guys, I grew up in a home with two guns in every room of the house. I understood. My dad used to take us out to the Mesa in New Mexico, and we would fire all of our firearms, and we'd go home and clean them. I understood. When I was 8 years old, my grandfather put my first shotgun in my hands. It would belong to my great-grandfather. It was a Stevens Break Open 410. He said, "Michael, there's a nest of squirrels up in the attic, and it's bothering your great-grandmother. We need to get rid of them." I didn't put there was no option in 1975 for live traps. He put that 410 in my hands, and he said, "Go up there and take care of them." By God, that's what I did. I went up there and took care of them. I understood what a firearm could do. I understood that in my hands, that was the difference between life and death. We didn't have all the trash at the movie theaters and on the television that's on there now. And again, I don't want to muzzle these people. I blame parents. I blame the parents of these kids who have been desensitized to the point that they have no concept that life and death is real. And, you know, we've got a Hollywood that glorifies this, and then they want to turn around and take our rights away after using or depicting the use of guns being used in their violent and hateful and filthy trash. Danny, what do you think about that?
Well, we have classes for, well, I don't know if you called on me, I didn't hear, but we have classes for sex education. We have classes for nutritional values. We have all these classes. We don't have, now, I remember, I think, if I grew up right, that there was a gun class that, like hunter class or something, you know, and they taught you the responsibilities of, it was only like a simple little class, but they at least taught you the hunter or type mentality and so on. Well, we're not allowed to teach that anymore, see?
Well, I can guarantee you, Brother Bing, every single one of us, you.
Somebody should.
You, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
I can guarantee you that you, Bing, Danny, Ron, Kurt, and Boyd, all of us grew up in an era when we went to school, when we went to high school, when we were driving. I know in the back of my pickup truck was gun racks with a rifle in it because we were either hunting before school or after school. Were there there was none of these problems. Danny, what do you think about this?
Well, in the sixth grade, I took my shotgun to school for show and tell.
And when you got out of jail.
No, it wasn't. And we had moved to the city then, and it wasn't no big deal.
Yeah, you can't hardly do that anymore, brother.
Oh, I know. You ain't even supposed to be in the parking lot with one.
Ron, did you have gun racks in the back of your truck growing up?
No, but I got one under my seat. got about five or six at my front door.
But you understand what I'm saying, right? I mean,
of course. But you know what the real problem is? And I like Wild Bill for America quite a bit. I guess everybody knows. And he's got a new video that I, me and Kurt and Boyd kind of talked about last night, but it was Dead Children for Christmas is the name of it. You ought to go over to YouTube and look it up and watch it for yourself. We were kind of hesitant about putting it on because of the grisly nature of this, of the title of it. And so we backed away from it, but he made a good point. You know, all the stuff that's going on started getting really, really worse when we started taking God out of everything and pouring water over everything that God stands for, from our kids, what we teach our kids to what we teach them about the Second Amendment. You know, we ought to be teaching our kids that the reason that we have the rights to guns is not to keep the criminals away from us, it's to keep the governments off our back. And
exactly.
a well-armed American is not going to put up with the government infringing upon his rights. He will to a little bit, but he's coming to the end of that point. And I just wish we could get to that point already.
I guarantee you that you've got a half a dozen militia commanders right here on this show. If we ever get to the point where we wake up one morning and the government says, turns in your weapons, because I guarantee you, I will go to war with my government if they knock. Let me put it this way. I feel sorry for the person that knocks on my door and says, give me your guns, because they won't be walking away from my door, and that ain't a threat.
Yeah, but see, Michael, they won't do it that way. They will do it in incremental steps, small little tiny baby steps. They'll take away, they'll tax your ammo to where you can't afford it. Look at ammo right now. Right, the government is buying up all the ammo they can. Hollow point 44s, 45s. What do they need that for? Target shooting? Nah. They want to get that out of the hands of the people. They want to try to buy it up. Well, it's typical liberal nonsense, but the thing is that we have to watch out for these little incremental steps. It's incremental steps, people, that are killing us. It's not the big major steps. We understand, you know, Obamacare is a danger. It's a threat unto itself. We had to pass it so we can understand what's in it. Now you have all these little incremental things that are in that bill. The $63 a month that you're going to have to pay to subsidize somebody else's problem that has, you know, pre-existing problem or something under the Obamacare deal. I mean, you know, that's where this is. That's what we have to watch out for. Look, they know that, and everything. Do you ever wonder why everything is based in a 10-year and one decade interval? It's based in a 10-year interval. Everything is based off, okay, this is going to cost us so much money in 10 years, over a 10-year period. It's because if they told you how much it was going to cost you tomorrow, you would freak out. You would freak the heck out. And that's why they don't tell you. They put it in a 10-year, 20-year, 30-year interval. And I'm just saying, you know, we have to watch for these little interval-type things that they try to pass off on us. But,
well, we're coming up on a hard break, so, but in about 3 minutes. Let's get Kurt and Boyd in here. Kurt, get in on this, and then take a minute and a half or so, and then let's get Boyd in here before we go up on this hard break.
Okay, I'm going to turn to a different page here for a minute, Michael.
Sure, go ahead, brother.
We're all coming at this from the standpoint of affecting some sort of human endeavor into this situation to fix it humanly. And I'm going to remind you all of a verse of Scripture in the Bible. I can't tell you book, chapter, and verse, but if you can look it up. And the words of that verse says, we battle not against flesh and blood. Human beings are flesh and blood, right? We battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. The word principalities means a spiritual realm there. Or to be very specific, the realm of the cast out angel, the angel that fell from heaven, whose name is Satan. That's who we're dealing with here, people. That young man who went into this schoolroom in Connecticut the other morning with two weapons was not a normal mortal human being at that time. It's not, he was not immortal. He proved that himself. But he was not operating within the normal realm of human endeavor. He was being directed, as surely as I'm talking on this telephone, he was being directed by the prince of darkness, Satan himself. And until we start to approach this from the standpoint that we can't fix this under normal, with normal human reactions and endeavors, and go back to calling on Almighty God and the power of the Holy Spirit to affect people, to help us find the solution to some of these problems. And until that happens, until it happens on a large scale, we're not going to see any improvement in this situation.
Well, I can't agree with you more, Kurt. And, I'll be the first to say, and I agree with you totally. By taking God out of the public square, the liberals are accomplishing. I mean, let's be frank here. We're at a point. What happened in Connecticut is because of the liberal doings. I mean, they may not want to admit it. They won't admit it. But it's because of taking God out of society, taking
yes.
traditional American values out of society, allowing and this is tough because, it, you know, I don't want to muzzle folks in Hollywood because, look what being and I do. Look what we do here on Sundays. You know, we don't want to muzzle our First Amendment. But when you have people that have no morals and no values and they publish the trash and crap that they do, and you desensitize the youth. These people have been working on this for 50 years, Kurt. I have to agree with you. You're absolutely right. Boy, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I don't know about Boyd, Michael, but as I said last week, the Second Amendment is there to protect us from the help protect us to encompass the First Amendment and all the other ones.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what people don't get, that the Second Amendment is not there for me to go out hunting deer in my backyard or down the road or whatever. It's to keep me safe from these people that sit there and want to dictate and want to control me.
Boyd,
go ahead.
Boyd, what are your thoughts, Boyd?
Well, guns are not the problem. It is people that are the problem. And when they open the asylum doors for those who were not so, shall we say, drastically disabled with their disease, where it could be controlled with medication and stuff. The one thing they didn't do when they did that was put a control on the people as they left the asylums to ensure that they took their meds. Therefore, without those controls, we need a means to defend and protect ourselves from them. There is another reason for the Second Amendment. Gun-free zones are the unsafest place in America nowadays.
Oh, they are. I won't walk into one. Well, let's, Boyd, real quickly, I got a message here that Billy was hunting at 8, too. Before we hit this hard break at the bottom of the hour,
bring her in.
Let's bring her in and get her opinion because then I'd like to end the show today on a happy note. So, Billy, give us your thoughts real quick before we head into this hard break.
Well, my thoughts were simply that, okay, first of all, I started hunting not when I was 8, but when I was 6. I can remember the first time my dad gave me a shotgun to shoot, and it was, it was an anxiety type filled moment, but it taught me something about he taught me everything I needed to know, like where to aim, how to aim, what we were doing out there. We were hunting food. And the big thing I wanted to say more than anything is, like, in fourth grade, I can remember when we were learning about the right to bear arms and we were learning the Bill of Rights. What you said about concealed carry was the best thing. It was the simple fact that it taught me a respect for my neighbor. It taught me, now I know that my neighbor who always helps me stay off his lawn might have a gun. You know, and it's like, wow, you know, back then when you're in fourth grade, you don't really want to think that, but it also, it gave me this respect of, I better stay off his lawn because that's just not the right thing I want. I don't want him to pull that on me.
Yeah, I might get shot.
Right. And it's just that concealed carry is better than open carry for that reason, simply because you never know who's carrying a gun, and it's better not to know for everyone out there. And then they can at least start showing a little bit of more morality and respect towards people, towards others. It's kind of like
he may not. Okay.
Well, let's, Billy, hang tight, because I want to pull Rick in here real quick before we go into our hard break. And then when we come out of the hard break, I'd like to discuss, so we've been talking about the problem. Let's talk about how we move forward. And I want to get everybody that's on, I want to get their thoughts as to how they think we can move forward. Let's get Rick real quick. He says guns don't kill people, gun laws kill people. Let's get his thoughts on that real quick, and then we're going to go into this hard break. So, Brother Rick, in about a minute or less.
Well, real simple, you know, this can be seen in other parts of the world where strict gun laws went in effect throughout history. You know, take Cambodia under Pol Pot, Nazi Germany under Adolf Hitler, the old Soviet Union under Stalin, and other places. Strict gun laws, where the government says that citizens cannot have firearms, leave the government taking over every aspect of the citizens' lives to the point that it becomes a totalitarian society.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
definitely.
And, you know, I mean,
England now, too. England the same way. They sat there. I can't believe that some of the videos over in England, you know, they just let themselves go to hell.
Well, and that's what they did in the 1920s in Germany. You know, they voted away the Wehrmacht, or however you say that word. They voted away the white. Yeah, they voted away their gun rights, and who took over? But let's table that for a minute. When we come out of this break, let's talk about how do we move forward. Again, this is 718-305-7176. You are listening to Soldiers of Patriotism on the Conservative Nation Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Well, we do conservatism, right?
When a call for a medic went out, Alan left a covered position to run to render aid. That was when he was hit.
The bullet struck him on the right side between his body armor.
Say a prayer for peace.
Alan was one of the first wounded warriors to come out of Iraq in 2003. I'm Trace Atkins, and I want to tell you about Wounded Warrior Project and how they helped this brave young man and his family.
There was life in his eyes, but everything else was non-responsive.
The doctors anticipated that Alan would be bedridden and need to be spoon-fed for the rest of his life.
The job of helping wounded warriors rebuild their lives is massive and growing every day. Your gift of just $19 a month will help wounded warriors like Alan, who refuse to give up.
I'm in the fields of Vietnam, the mountains of Afghanistan.
Earned the Purple Heart and the Bronze Star for his actions on the battlefield. He is a true American hero. But Alan became my hero for the battle he fought day after day after day to get his life back.
Your call today and a gift of $19 a month can help provide our wounded warriors with desperately needed programs and services through Wounded Warrior Project.
I would encourage you to donate to the Wounded Warrior Project.
It's going to take a lot of us for a long time to help these young men and women.
Call or go online with a pledge of $19 a month and you'll receive this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
Wounded Warrior Project, all I can really say is thank you. Thank you for being there and giving me something to achieve.
Say a prayer for peace.
Together, you and I shocked the world. Not only did we win Iowa and 10 other states, we framed the Republican message, and we showed that conservative values are alive and well all across America. And what do I call winning 11 states? Well, just the beginning. Because by staying together, you and I can amplify our voices and change America. And the top of that list, of course, is defeating Barack Obama. To accomplish all this, I'm starting a brand new organization, Patriot Voices. And once again, I'm calling on you and 1 million other patriots to join me and guarantee that our voices be heard. Our mission is clear. Fight to protect faith, family, freedom, and opportunity in America. To accomplish this, we'll mobilize our grassroots troops to help elect candidates that share our values and hold elected officials accountable for their actions all across this country. And like the founding fathers of our country, We're ready to take on the establishment or anyone else who opposes those bedrock American principles. Are you ready to join the fight to protect the sanctity of life? Protect traditional marriage. Return to the principles of our Constitution. Restore fiscal sanity in Washington and across this country, and make America an economic and manufacturing superpower again. Then it's time you become a member of Patriot Voices. And joining couldn't be simpler. Just go to patriotvoices.com and you can instantly become a founding member of our organization. You and I weren't there for the American Revolution. We didn't write the Constitution or sign the Declaration of Independence. But let's make no mistake about it. The fight to protect faith, family, freedom, and ensure opportunity for all in America is just as critical today as it was back then. Our time in history is right now. And I hope that you'll choose to join me in this critical fight by joining Patriot Voices today. Patriot Voices, your voice, multiplied by a million.
In your face, all over the place.
We're online 24/7.
24/7.
You're listening to the hottest internet station.
Conservative Nation Radio. Nation Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
At Conservative Nation Radio, we don't have $1 million, but if we did,
Obama would steal it.
Conservative Nation Radio.
We do conservatism right.
All right, and this is Soldiers of Patriotism with Conservative Nation Radio Network, and this is Michael B. along with my partner, my brother from another mother.
Waving.
Hey, brother, you know what, Bing, let's spin this next segment, wrapping up the Connecticut thing with Kurt and Boyd and Danny and everybody, and then we'll spend the last 15 minutes. I think you and I owe it to our friends to share the direction of our show, Traditional American Movement, and Conservative Nation Radios in general. But, brother, I can't. I just want to say on air to everybody right now, this is my brother right here. This man came on board with me a while back, and, dude, we're growing. I mean, we're growing. I don't know if it's you. It damn sure ain't me.
Me. I mean, it must be Boyd or somebody. I don't know.
Well, you know, we've got a lot going on. We'll talk about that in the last segment, but let's open it up. I'd really like to think about, you know, I'm going to reserve my thoughts. I'd like to get everybody else's input, being maybe starting with Danny. How do we move forward? How do we require of our school districts that they remove this tag of gun-free zone in our schools or wherever else? We can't mandate somebody to carry a firearm with them. I guess I'm of the opinion, if we just remove this false notion of a gun-free zone out of certain places in society, so that these wolves don't know whether or not they're going to meet resistance, maybe that's all we need to do. And then people like me that have a wife who's a teacher can send my wife to the necessary training, teach her how to properly maintain, take care of, and use a handgun, so that if some freaking idiot comes in that school, even after lockdown, if she finds it necessary to pull that thing out and pop one between his eyes, she can be dead-eyed dick and do it. I don't know. What do you think?
That would be a great start. I mean, because the gun-free zones is the nuttiest thing they've come up with yet. I mean, all these massacres happen in gun-free zones. Even the Aurora shooting, that guy didn't go to the theater closest to his house. He went to one that had the sign up that it was a gun-free zone. I mean, it invites the lunatics who want to commit mass murder.
to, you might as well go to a theater, I guess, if you're in that frame of mind, if you're against popcorn that has a popcorn free zone. I mean, it makes no sense, you know. It's just, or whatever it is, bottle caps, whatever. We don't allow bottle caps in here, right? You know, but it makes no sense to me. These people are basically set up as sitting ducks because, and look, I have to say, being a capitalist, they don't have to go to that theater. If that theater has got a sign, if you go to a theater and it's got a sign out there that says that you are not allowed to carry a weapon in here, turn around and go away. Patronize another theater that allows you that right, if you are in a state that allows you to carry.
Oh, I agree, but still the sign invites the lunatics and the sheeple that will go there knowing it's a gun-free zone.
Yeah, it's, you're a sitting target, aren't you? Pretty
yeah,
much.
But, and sometimes, like, how do you not go to your kid's graduation because it's at a gun-free zone?
Well, yeah, that's true, too. I mean, you know, but I think that we, I don't know, do we need a litmus test? Do we need some kind of a background check? If somebody goes to, now, you know, the Connecticut shooting, he stole the guns from his mother, okay, who had every right to have them, all right? But she had a kid in the house that was, shall we say, not right in the head, and he got the guns from her, as far as I can understand. So do we need, but he was going to see a shrink. So do we need to have the HIPAA laws changed to some aspect where they at least will say, look, I don't think this guy, a doctor could sit there and say, look, I don't think this guy should be carrying a gun, man, you know, much less a knife. So, and then that would show up on a background check, and then, you know, I don't know. That's a road I am willing to take. Okay,
still,
I'm willing to go down, but still, it's not, yeah, I understand that, but that is something I'm willing to go down and willing to pursue, other than having to sit there and say, well, we're just going to ban guns altogether. Do you see what I'm saying?
But that his mother was still allowed to own the guns, so, I mean, it wouldn't be fair to punish her because of her son, and who knows what he did to her to get the guns.
Well, yeah, and it's, you know, I guess everybody is still conjecturing there, Danny, but, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, there's certain people that you know are, they just ain't right. They should not be allowed with, they shouldn't even be allowed to drive a car or a bicycle in some aspects, you know. But, I mean, they're allowed to carry guns, you know. And I'm not, you know, I'm not anti-gun person, and I don't feel no sympathy for these people that died up there. But my deal is that we have sat there and let this happen for so long and let these people dictate to us what is the narrative, what is the topic, what is the bill. And I think it's time that we sat there and said, you know, this is the way it is. You have to start, we have to start analyzing who is sick in this country. It's not the guns, because if it's the guns, then all the cops in this country and all the law-abiding people in this country that own guns, including me, would be sitting there just killing everybody, because it's not the guns. It's not some metaphysical thing. It's not some crazy show that you see on TV. It's the people, and the people don't have no sense. They ain't got the sense that they were born with.
Well, we should also do the same to voters, because they're doing a lot of damage to the country, too.
Oh, buddy, I'm all for that. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how you would do that. I don't know how you would accomplish any of this. But, yeah, I mean, I think, and, but, you know, we also see that with voting, too. I mean, they're thinking, you know, oh, you know, well, we can't disenfranchise people because, you know, we require ID. Why? You have ID to get anything. I wonder if this kid had ID to get these guns. No. He didn't have ID to get these guns. He must have had ID, but he didn't have ID to get these guns because he stole them. And they don't understand that. But they want to take the emotional argument out of the logical argument. They want to take the emotional issue and proceed from there.
Well, that's all they have.
Well, yes, it is.
Motion. They don't have any facts to back it up. I mean, the cities in the U.S. with the most gun control laws are the most violent. In Kennesaw, Georgia, they made gun ownership mandatory, and violent crime rates dropped. Of course, they don't enforce it.
Let's pull in Ron and Kurt.
I'm also wondering, Michael, you know, if I can interject real quick. I don't know about this, okay? I'm really kind of torn on this. I know in Norway they have, you know, in Finland they have these deals where this law where, you know, if you're a male or so on, you have to go and serve, you know, 2 years or whatever. And then, you know, you have to, you know, have a gun with you and so on. But I don't know about that. I don't think we need that. I just think we need to enforce the laws that we got, and we need to go after these people that are just sick if we can find them. I think we're chasing our tail. We're not going after the people that are sick. And the news media is just exploding on this, but they're not on Benghazi. It's all right for four dead Marines out there, or four dead, or two Marines and an interpreter and the ambassador to be dead, but that doesn't get any kind of press.
No, it doesn't. And you know, I want to get Ron and Kurt's and Boyd's input though. And how do we move forward? What do we do? What is it? You know, we've already looked at what's happened, why it's happened. So now I think, you know, in these final remaining minutes before our next soft break, and then finishing the show, what do we do moving forward? How do we insist we take away these gun-free zones? I don't know. What do we do? Kurt?
I think the simple answer to that, Michael, would be yes. That's how we're coming at it down here in Tennessee from that angle. We had this thing about certain employees in Tennessee didn't want certain employers didn't want the employees to be able to leave their guns in their vehicle in the parking lot at work. Well, that meant they had to leave home and drive in Memphis, Tennessee without their protection. That is insane. If you do away with the gun-free zone, and this is the thing that we're looking at this time, we're going to push for that, and this is one that the liberals play hard against, you know, not allowing college kids to have their weapons in their vehicles on campus. We've got to be able to let these people who can qualify to legitimately own and carry a weapon to be able to have it either on their person or in close proximity to where they are, so that that destroys the concept of a gun-free zone. Because we've been talking about this for nearly 2 hours now, and it keeps coming back. Wherever you have a gun-free zone is where the lunatic is going to strike. They're crazy, but they're not stupid. They don't walk into a police station and start pulling the trigger because they know they're going to get shot. They go where they know that people are not armed. And this is, I think, the short answer to that is just yes. We got to do away with the gun-free zone before we'll ever be able to stop or slow down. We'll never be able to completely stop, but to at least slow down the happenings of incidents like that. Now let Boyd put his 2 cents worth in on that, okay?
Yeah, go ahead, Boyd. Ron, you're on deck.
718-305-7176. Call in. You can get on.
Well, you know, I've been thinking about the teachers and guns in school, and the gun-free zone issue in school. I said that teachers should carry guns. I don't. And I'm sitting here rethinking it. And I believe that the school, in and of itself, if it so chooses, should be allowed to call itself a gun-free zone. However, with the exception that teachers inside the school or other employees inside the school would be allowed to carry.
Required.
Not required, allowed. And
well,
I would,
wait a minute, why not?
I would, not? I would say that those people who carry should get, you know, if they're going to carry, they're taking on the responsibility of a protector of the kid and should be compensated for it, say like a dollar or a couple dollars an hour more than what their base wage would be. The other aspect as far as the, you know, I look at it, you know, if you pay a couple of teachers a couple of bucks an hour more in school, it's cheaper than taking a cop and putting them in school. And if you're going to put a cop in school and it's a gun-free zone, you know, hell, the cop's either, you know, the cop's going to carry a gun, so it really isn't a gun-free zone. Or the cop has to take off his gun, and if he takes off his gun, you know, he's just like any other teacher that's in the building. So with that in mind, is the same as concealed carry anywhere else. You don't know who has it. You don't know where it is in the school, but you know it's there.
Yeah, I think I have to agree with you, Boyd. I really do. I mean, you know, look, they're never going to allow my wife to carry a gun into school knowingly. But what they don't know won't hurt them.
Yeah,
right.
Well,
yeah, but
this is,
they know
this,
they'll fire.
This here is a another issue. If the teacher wants to, you know, because you're going to give them a couple of bucks an hour more or whatever for the days that he's in there and carrying, he has to report it to prove that he's got his weapon and he's ready before he can claim his couple of extra bucks an hour.
Absolutely.
Or you know.
Well, in most states, I know, too, also, you can sit there and have a weapon, you know, as long as it's unloaded and there's two steps involved in getting that weapon out of the car. But, I mean, I don't want to sit there and belabor this point.
He's got... That person would have it with him in the classroom, and it could be loaded, maybe not around in the chamber, but it would be loaded because if you need a gun, you need it now. You don't need to be trying to figure out how to load that son of a bitch and get it ready to go. You need it right now.
A loaded gun, a loaded gun's not worth squat.
Here's my argument on teachers carrying guns. There are teachers that don't want to carry guns. We should not force them to carry guns. There are teachers in there that should not be allowed to be anywhere within 20 yards of a gun.
Well, there's teachers in there that shouldn't even be in the classroom.
Well,
it
shouldn't be near
children.
I was going to
say that.
Yeah,
teachers
but
in there that should not
thing
even
about
be
it
teaching.
Is the gun can definitely be in a classroom if it's on the teacher.
Yep, absolutely. And a trained teacher, just like my wife's going to be. Boyd, we're running down to the end of the show. I just want to get Ron's thoughts real quick, and then I want to be able to we didn't get a chance to really get into it, but I just want Bing and I to be able to let y'all know about what's going on with CNR and TradAm and the reason for the new format. So we might take a few minutes on that before we end this show. But Ron, give us your closing remarks, because we are running down to the end of the show here on this conversation.
Well, Boyd's too good a friend of mine to argue with him, but I would rather go with requiring teachers to carry guns and be trained to carry them. And it'd be a requirement. They don't have a choice in the matter. If they're not willing to protect our kids, they probably don't need to be in the classroom teaching them. And that's just right off the top of my head. But you know, we're all looking at this wrong. Most of this problem like this started back in the 50s when we started taking God out of everything that we did and legalizing abortion in 64 and things like that. Until we get a sense of morality and a sense of and teaching our kids from birth Christian values, it'll take 20 or 30 years, maybe 40, like it's taken to, for all this stuff to go to crap in a handbasket. But we can turn this around, but we're going to have to do something in the meantime to hold back the evil that's loose, that we've turned loose. Because let's face it, we've turned it loose. When we start taking God out of all of our decision-making and placing man in his thoughts and what he wants to do and making anything we want to do right, I mean, what, you know, that's just sick. And when you pull it back and look at it, that's not just stupid. It's sick. And now we have things going on all around us that are against what God wishes for us, and then he has our best in mind. He don't have the foolishness and the worst of us in mind. He's got the best, and we're just ignoring that. And until we can get back to where we don't ignore that and we give him the place in our country that he belongs, then we're going to always have this problem, and it's going to get worse until the end of time.
Absolutely.
That's my fault.
Well, I appreciate it, Ron.
Yep. And Ron, I tell you what, we had a truant officer at school. We didn't have cops. This guy was Barney Fife, okay? He didn't even have a gun, you know, but there was nothing like this. So there's something going. There's something going in the force, a rift, if you will.
Well, brother,
and we need to figure out what it is and define it and understand it.
Well, brother, we are quickly running out of time. I've dropped my cell phone in the Trad-Am chat room. I want to encourage Ron and Fred and Kurt, and I mean, I think everybody's got my cell phone anyway, but I encourage y'all to text me anytime. My email is michael@conservativenationradio.org for any suggestions. I think it was Ron that brought up the Wild Bill thing. Hey, guys, text me or send me anytime anything you want on this show. This show, Bing, you and I pride ourselves on making this show about our guests, and so I want I want to empower them to call me, pick up the phone, call me, text me, send me an email, or get with Bing and say, hey, can we discuss this on the show, guys? We will do it. Bing, real quickly, we're running out of time, but I just want to.
I got your number up at the Dew Drop Inn up here.
Yeah, you know,
in the ladies' bathroom.
We're not going to really be able to go into the new formatting and everything. I think everybody's got an idea that we're moving into some formatting. We'll talk about it next Sunday. Just final thoughts, Bing. I need a couple of minutes to end the show with our out. But I love you all, Bing. Take 30 seconds and end it up, and then I'll go into our end.
I'll be quick, man. I'm just going to say Trad-Am and Conservative Nation Radio Movement, or ConservativeNationRadio.org, we're pretty much joined at the hip right now. So whatever you can, you know, get on there, get on both networks, and, you know, participate, you know, get along and participate, basically, is what we need. So, and watch out for some growing things, because we are growing. We are going to grow. We are 25,000 in the U.S. globally, or the U.S. as far as websites.
Traditional American Movement.com, ConservativeNationRadio.org. We do conservatism right. This is y'all's network. These shows are about y'all. We want your input. Thank you. Love you all.
Mark your calendars. Conservative Nation Radio is proud to announce our first annual Christmas Eve special on Monday, December 24th at 7:30 p.m. Central Time. Tune in for 2 full hours of Christmas programming filled with Christmas classics, music, and so much more. Visit conservativenationradio.org, look for the banner that says The Night That Changed Everything, and that will take you directly to the broadcast. We hope you enjoy our Christmas gift to you, our listeners, and make us a part of your Christmas celebration. On behalf of everybody here at Conservative Nation Radio, we'd like to wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas.
In your face, all over the place. We're online 24/7. 24/7.
You're listening to the hottest internet station.
Conservative Nation. Conservative Radio. Nation Radio.
5, 5, 4, 4, 3, 3, 2, 1, 1.